Hi, welcome to another episode. Today we're having a chat with someone very interesting, I think. It's Jaime Zuluaga from the Costa Rica Beer Factory in San Jose, Costa Rica. That part's kind of self-explanatory. I don't know an awful lot, but I believe, Jaime, you've got a big background. You're one of the kind of the longest established, most kind of awarded breweries in Costa Rica, as far as I know. Is that right?
Yeah. It's I don't know. We were like the first, but we have to keep in mind that Costa Rica has a little trajectory in the craft beer, right? In the United States and all of that. We heard of the craft beer is like 30 years long in Costa Rica. It's from 2012. So okay. Yeah, it's really small, but yeah, we were like the first. We established in 2013, and in that time, if I'm not wrong, we were only like six breweries working at the time.
So that's just 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, 10 years ago.
And were they all kind of in San Jose? Were they spread around or?
Yeah, well, Costa Rica is really small, right? We only have 5 million people in Costa Rica. So it is really small. You can go from the downtown to the beach in 6 hours, to the border of Panama or Nicaragua in 6 hours. You have the beach 1 hour long from the downtown. So yeah, we're really small. So at the beginning, we were in downtown in San Jose, but right now we have some cool activity from United States, from people of the United States who retired and came to Costa Rica to open a brewery. So we have in the beaches, more in Guanacaste, in the side of Guanacaste, like 10 breweries, I think, that are owned by... I don't know how to say it, from the United States. Well, that's one thing. I'm sorry for my English because I learned it playing PlayStation. So I get wrong something, some word. So don't punish me bad, okay?
it's pretty good for PlayStation. I don't know what you were playing.
Okay. Final Fantasy. Okay.
Within a lot of recommendation for any language school.
Yeah, exactly. It was my English school. So yeah, in Costa Rica we have those breweries that made a really good beer. But in downtown, another thing is that important breweries in Costa Rica are owned by immigrants. We have, well, in that time 35, or the breweries that we consider started all in Costa Rica. It's called Costa Rica's Craft Brewery. That was owned by a United States citizen. So they already sold to a big company, and 35 too. 35 were sold, but it was owned by a Venezuelan guy called Ignacio. Right now he has a small brew pub called Eremita, and I'm from Colombia, right? I have lived in Costa Rica my half of life. So I have the two citizens, but I'm from Colombia. So it's kind of funny that important breweries are owned by immigrants.
Right. Do you think there's any reason for that? Is it just that, like, it, what was the beer scene like, I guess, up to 10 years ago? So, like, was it, I've been to Costa Rica once in my whole life for two weeks, so
but you know Costa Rica, right?
It was an amazing country. It was one of the best trips I've ever had.
Yeah, Costa Rica, the major economy of Costa Rica is tourism, so a lot of people came and a lot of people stay in Costa Rica. So they came from a vacation trip, they love Costa Rica, sell everything in their country, and came here to live in the beaches, most of it. So, I think it that's why when my father in Colombia said, okay, I have nothing to do in Colombia, I have to go in. Well, in Colombia, we have that time where the economy was bad, the terrorism was bad. So my father said, okay, I'm going to another country to see what I can do. We have a family here in Costa Rica that help us a lot. So my father came to Costa Rica. He said, okay, it's the only country that I have, that I know some people. So I'm going there. I'm going to start from zero. And I came with him. So we started a company of printing labels.
Okay.
So nothing to do with beer. And we have a foundation called CRBF Foundation that right now is associated with Jovera Comida Foundation. Jovera Comida is translated like Raining Food Foundation, that is a big foundation in Costa Rica. And together, we help a little bit with them to create the first shelter for people who are already cured from their addiction and need a place to stay while they get their place of their own. So in that, we received a volunteer that she said that, okay, I have a house in Barrio Escalante, where is Costa Rica Beer Factory. And if you want to take it, because my business, my idea of a business just went wrong. And we said, okay, let's make a business there and entrepreneurship, right? So in our search for what was going to put in that house, we saw that in Europe and the United States, the share market of the craft beer was growing like madness. And we said, okay, in Costa Rica, we are only 6 breweries, so let's make beer, we said. It's going to be easy, they said. So, well, not. It's not easy. We spent like 2 years trying to make good beer. And that's why it's called Costa Rica Beer Factory, because at the beginning, we were like a brewery. We have in mind that we want to be a brew pub, right?
Yeah.
But at the beginning, we wanted to make beer. And we speeded up things with the restaurant because the beer wasn't good. So I think that was one of the key of success of the business, because we create the demand and then we create the product. So people were expecting that beer for 2 years. And then we make good beer. Well, I said good beer. I don't know with the knowledge that I have right now how that beer was that day. But yeah, let's say good beer at the time. And we started to sell it in the restaurant. Then the supermarkets came and said, okay, well, we are hearing that the craft beer is growing a lot. That was like 2015, I think. And right now, at the time, a lot of breweries were established. Well, a lot, according to the small market in Costa Rica. We can say like 20, 25 breweries at the time that was making beer, and the supermarkets were interested in selling that beer. So they asked us if we wanted to sell the beer, and we said, okay, we have two opportunities. We can stay small in a 80-gallon batch system in the restaurant, or we can go big and sell all over the country and maybe export beer. And that's what we said. We create like a big brewery, big in Costa Rica, again, because it is really small. It is a 2,000-liter system. But yeah, we started like that. And well, everything was going good, flowing. Pandemia came and it shits all over us. I'm sorry for the bad word. I used to do a lot of bad words. But yeah, it was really, really mean, the pandemic for us. And well, we take the brewery that was in Heredia, in a city in Costa Rica, that was 450 meters, square meters. So it was big. And we put it in 62 square meters in Costa Rica Beer Factory in the restaurant. So it is really small. We have all those big tanks in a really small place. But when you enter the restaurant and you saw the tanks at the back, you fell in love, right? The tourism, the tourists that are like 60% of our customers, they love to see the tanks back there. So, well, good things happen from bad things. So, yeah. And that is a small story. But in concrete, in 2015, We were like now 25 breweries, and right now I think we are like 80 breweries in Costa Rica.
Okay, geez, that's a big change in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. We were before pandemic, 120, 140 breweries. Pandemic hit us hard, and right now we were like 80 breweries working.
So just to go back, just to focus on yourselves again, I'd like to come back onto that general kind of Costa Rican beer scene, but just yourselves. So you had no background in home brewing. It was purely looking for a business to fill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't drink beer. I don't know if you know the term, but I was a straight edge. That is like a philosophy where you cannot drink, cannot consume drugs. You have to be like really loyal. So I was like, I had like 9 years of non-drink alcohol, but any drop, nothing. So when we started the business, we hired two guys to make the beer. They were really nice guys making beer. And then, I used to give speeches in universities about entrepreneurship and all of that. So those guys tell us, okay, we want to create our own business and we want to go. Well, I cannot tell them no, right? So we said, okay. And I went to my father and my sister that they associate. And I tell them, okay, I have a list of people that we can hire to make beer. And they said, you have to make the beer. So I was like getting into it forced, not because I wanted to, but it was the best of my life. So I started making beer without tasting it. So it was really weird at home. So when I have a beer finished beer, I called them and I said, okay, taste. Tell me if it is good, if it is bad. Sometimes they said, this tastes like shit. This is good. We can sell this beer. So when a friend of mine came from Spain and he gave me a beer and he said, okay, I have this special beer for you and us to drink. So I said, okay, 9 years, it's one step. I have to drink this beer. And that's the stage passed. So when I drank this beer, I felt, I don't know, amazing in the space. And I tell myself what I've been losing, right? It's amazing. So I started to taste a lot of beers and I started to travel, not to get drunk, right? To learn. So I started to travel and in Costa Rica, well, the beer that has changed me all was the Pliny the Elder from Russian River. That I taste IPAs and I said, okay, this is like bitter. Yeah, okay, nice, but I'm not like into it. But when I go to San Francisco and taste the Pliny the Elder for the first time in fresh beer, I said, okay, now I need to learn how to make this beer. So that's when the studies started. I started to read a lot, to look a lot of YouTube videos. When that thing wasn't enough, I started to travel to different factories, breweries, so they can let me stay 2-3 days and ask a lot of questions. A lot of questions. Questions that I have that were not in the books. And then I managed to certificate as a master brewer from a course in Chile. They came to Costa Rica and gave us that course. And then I graduated from Beer Sommelier and the Union Birrai Beer Tasters, a member. And well, certified, I was in the BJCP program at the beginning. I have take the exam later. So yeah, that's when things get a little more bigger. And we have a problem in Latin America, I think, that is the education is not easy to access, a good education. So with that in mind, we create the first online beer school for Latin America from Costa Rica, right? So it is really nice, and it's really, really accessible. And it is online because we hire teachers from all of Latin America. So it's really, really good. And we started to create this culture of good education from beer. Because I don't know if you have that problem there, but a lot of people think they can teach, but they give the wrong answers. So it's really, really, really weird when we read an answer in a chat that is like, okay, no, that doesn't happen. Okay, that is not the correct answer. But yeah, a little bit of my background, my story.
It's, to be honest, it's probably the most original background of anybody I've spoken to, because most people I spoke to, they started home brewing and then so they just set up the business so they could keep doing it. But doing tasted beer in your life is, my head is gone on this.
Yeah, well, I was making beer at my home while I was making beer at a 2,000 liter system for the first time. So when my father and my sister said, okay, you have to make beer, I was, okay, I'm going to make beer at my home and I have to read. And, well, how this system goes? Well, I have a really good help from a guy named Ricardo Solis from Chile. That is like everyone calls him the teacher. Right, yep. Because he teaches all of Latin America. I think it is the teacher of everyone making beer in Latin America. So I have a great help from him because I didn't have my organoleptic system like prepared for making beer. Didn't have the knowledge. So yeah, that transition was really fun, but was really difficult. And yeah, I came to make beer forced instead of wanted to, but it's the best of my life.
Right. Well, yeah, I think most brewers end up, well, like I said, they started as home brewers, but they loved it and continued. But it's, yeah, you just started a bit later on a bigger system, but it's still bad. But yeah, I mean, from what you're saying there, the whole thing, it sounds like, it's nearly like I was thinking Costa Rica beer scene, but it seems like you're saying it is more of a Latin American beer scene. It is all very interlinked.
Yeah, well, let's see. I think Latin America, we can call it like as one. If we can say, I don't know, United States, we can say the Belgium scene, right? In Latin America, we have this big scene that we all heard of. I don't know, this guy in Argentina is making this beer, this guy in Brazil is making this beer, or this brewery in, I don't know, in Costa Rica. But if we focus on the different countries in Latin America, well, we can say that, for example, Argentina is making a great advance in beer. They're making really good beers. Brazil too. Okay, Brazil have this background of craft brewery from 1995, from the 90s. So it's really long, and it's almost focused in German styles and the German culture. So we have Colombia that was created like the Bogota Beer Company. It was a long craft brewery, but was sold out to Avinbev at the time. So it sets like a precedent because Avinbev started to look for craft breweries in Latin America when they sold the BBC, right? Uh-huh. So in Central America, that is really, really small. I think we are making really good things in our brew, in our beers, but we are like expanding the craft beer culture a lot. And that's what we want, to be heard of, that Latin America is making a great beer, but mostly Central America and Costa Rica, because everyone heard about Argentina, Chile, Brazil. But when you ask, okay, do you know where is Costa Rica? They said, Costa Rica, is that Puerto Rico? No, it's Costa Rica. Okay, you know, I have heard the most dumb things when I talk with somebody that has not come to Costa Rica, and they ask us, do you have internet? Do you have Wi-Fi? We're okay. we are a nice country, okay? So yeah, we're trying to show the world how the craft beer culture in Costa Rica is like, and it's really amazing. We are a lot of breweries that have won a lot of medals in different competitions in the world, really nice brewers, events that are really nice too. So yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
And is it the beer style, because you said there was a lot of kind of immigrants and particularly US on the Pacific coast. Are they brewing just kind of like, is there a big IPA thing, or is there more of a broader scene there, or is it still very
you have to tropicalize the beer, right? We are in a really tropical country. You have this heat with humidity, so it is not easy to drink like a stout, for example, or a double or triple IPA. They make those beers, of course, but when they realize at the beach, for example, that the summer is really hot, well, the first thing they are going to make is a refreshing beer. Call it lager, call it fruit beer. So, yeah, I think it's kind of easy when you came to Costa Rica, because you came with an idea of making a beer that maybe you like, let's say an imperial stout, I don't know. But when you come to Costa Rica and you are in the beach, 40 degrees Celsius, and all you want is a refreshing beer. So, okay, you are not drinking an imperial stout. You want a lager or a fruit beer. I don't know, a Berliner Weiss. I don't know, and sour beer. So, yeah, instead of making that imperial stout, you start making a refreshing beer, and people start to loving it. So it is the tourism or the tourists that came to Costa Rica, they know what they want. So, for example, in our place, we didn't want to make an IPA. I already told you why, right? But all of the tourists, put it like 95% of the tourists, always ask for the first beer they want. It's what is the IPA that you have? What brand of IPA? Do you have an IPA? So, well, we have to make an IPA. You need to see that the culture in Costa Rica, I love this country, right? I want to die here. I love it. But the culture is a little bit weird. It is really, really Americanized, I think we can say that, because it is a really, you can see it in the fast food business, because it is a really small country with a lot of fast food, McDonald's, Burger King. Yeah, and the other countries that I went as a judge, we cannot have, they don't have all those kind of fast food as the amount that Costa Rica have. Okay. So the national culture in Costa Rica, it is a little bit close to try new things. And okay. They love, for example, Imperial, that is the national beer, the industrial beer. And when we told them about craft beer, the first thing that they imagine, it is a really expensive beer, a super strong beer, and really bitter beer. So okay. they don't like bitterness, because the Ticos didn't like bitterness. We have at the beginning, it was really, really funny, because we started with one beer, an Irish Red Ale that is called Escalante, and it is like a flagship. So we started with only that beer. And well, at the time, like 8 years ago, we have this problem. We have diacetyl in the beer, but as brewers, we didn't want to recognize it, right? So the people or our customers starting to tell us, okay, this beer is really sweet. We don't like it too much. And we said, no, that is a really balanced beer. How can you say that? Right? The Brewer's Pride, I call it. So we said it was like a festival coming up. So we said, okay, we are going to make a sweet beer, so sweet that we are going to teach them, our customers, what sweet is like. So they said, oh, okay, no, this is really sweet. The Escalante is right. So stupid us in that day. So we make a really sweet beer with apple, right? A lot of apples. So we take that beer to the festival, and people love it. People start make line asking for the apple beer, for the sweet beer, and we were, okay, what's going on? What is this? So in that day, we realized, okay, the Ticos are really sweet and they like sweet. It is nice because I love sweet. If I can have an IV connected with sugar, you can see me here with an IV with sugar. So I love making pastries, beers, and all of that. At the time, that beer was a pastry beer without knowing it. So it was really funny because the brewers, when they taste that beer, this is not beer. What is this shit? This is not beer. So we have that rule that beer was for everyone except brewers. That it was forbidden for brewers. So yeah, it was our second brand, and it sells in the supermarket a lot. 93% of the sales of the customers of the Dota, it's called Dota, were females. We don't know why, but yeah, we said, okay, it is an opportunity to make an introductory beer for the craft beer culture. So Ticos are really sweet. They love these sweet beers. And the tourism, they like more bitter beers. But yeah, you can see right now in Costa Rica, all of the breweries are making stouts, IPAs. You see, it's this guy from Bora, Gustavo Bora Brewing, that it makes Imperial Stout so perfect, so nice, that when people drink that beer, they start to consume it, even if it is the hottest day in the year. So people are starting to recognize good beer.
Okay.
It is a really difficult task to culturize the people, but I think little by little we are going to make it.
And is it like the like you said, it's a small country, Costa Rica, but I mean, it's incredibly diverse in the geography, the climate, all of that. And does that get reflected anywhere in I think like is there any brewery, say, on the on the Caribbean coast that are brewing something very local that's just not brewed somewhere or using ingredients from there or
No, you see, it is so small that it doesn't make difference if you are in the Monteverde, that is a rainforest, or if you are on the beach, that is really hot, or if you are in, I don't know, in Atenas, for example, that is a place a little bit apart from the downtown, because the length you have, it's 1 hour length. So yeah, you don't need to it much different from, I don't know, Colombia, that okay, you are in Manizales, that is the or in Medellin, Cali, that is the coffee ground. So yeah, you can make coffee, coffee beer there, and people is going there to drink their coffee beer. Or if you are at the beach, that you have to take a plane, a half an hour plane, and they're making, I don't know, coconut beers because the coconut there is really nice. In Costa Rica, no. In Costa Rica, you have a lot of breweries in different places, but they are making the beers that they like or they think that is going to be accepted by the customers. So We as Costa Rica Beer Factory, we try to do to use a lot of local ingredients, fruits, or and not only fruits per se, but collaborate with entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs. So if someone tells me, hey, I'm making a coconut extract, do you want to try it? Yeah, bring it. We are going to make a beer with that. We make the two names in the collaboration, a lot of that. A chocolate, for example, we have the, we are going to make a chocolate beer. I don't know how to say it. I forgot the word, but it's a method to make chocolate that the pH is high, it's not lower, so it doesn't bring acidity. So they said, okay, here is the chocolate, try it. Okay, let's make a chocolate beer with the chocolate. I don't know if I have to say it like that, but I kind of don't like people who said, how are you going to use extract? That is not beer. You have to make all natural. But I don't like that. I have put a lot of things in my beer. For example, in the St. Patrick's Day, I make the green beer. Some people say, we don't make green beer. That is an industrial thing. And it is respectable, right? I respect their opinions, but it is my business. I can do whatever I want. So people love the green beer. So I take a lager of us and give it a natural color. And it's all really nice that day. It is perfect. So yeah, I think the breweries and may are doing what they like to do, what they like to experiment, always focusing on what they can sell.
Okay. And then coming back to your, like, part of what you have, you said you have the restaurant as well. And if I understood properly from the website, I mean, they were kind of envisioned together, food and the beer as well.
Yeah.
Does that influence what you brew, because of, you know, you're brewing this because you're cooking this?
Yeah, I love food. Okay, I don't know why I'm not so big, but I love to eat. I love to cook. I love food. I am not a chef, but I love to cook and to learn how to cook. And with that premise, I always make beer thinking what dish is gonna be like. We can see it in like two ways. One way is that, okay, with what food I'm going to pair this beer, and the other thing is what this beer is going to be like. So the first beer that I brew thinking of that was chocolate. It was a stout, cookies and cream Hershey's Imperial Stout. So I wanted to make like a really, really a beer that was similar to the cookies and cream of Hershey's.
Okay.
So yeah, it was my first messed up thing, because I bought a lot of cookies and cream chocolate, bar chocolate, and put it all in the tank. And well, you can now imagine 3 days later in cold what that beer was like. So okay, dump that thing. Now I know what to do that with the chocolate and how to work it. Well, I bought the chocolate, the cacao and vanilla and all of that, and give the impression of cookies and cream of Hershey's. But was thinking of that. The second beer that I make thinking of that was French Toast Imperial Stout too. So, well, I now know that I don't have to put French toast inside. So, yeah, I bought the ingredients and all of that. And the third one that is called the Puris. It was our most awarded beer. That it was a milkshake cherry imperial stout, because as you know, I love sweet, I love milkshakes, and I wanted to do a milkshake cherry imperial stout. So yeah, I when I make a beer, I think what that dish is gonna be like, when people drink that beer, I wanted to they to think it is a to relation. I don't know. Yeah, to think. Okay, this beer is like I don't know a mango smoothie.
Okay.
So yeah, I brew beers, our seasonal beers. I brew it with that thinking.
Okay, talk about seasonal beers. Do you have a core range then as well? That you brew all your core range that you brew all the time.
Yeah, like commercial beers.
Yeah, like something that's there all year. That's not.
Yeah. We have five beers that are the beers that are selling in supermarkets and all of the clients. The seasonal beers are only sold in Costa Rica Beer Factory. No, not more. And the other beers, we have the Escalante, the Irish Red Ale, that has won 2 medals in Latin America. We have the Dota, that is this apple beer, that has won 2 medals too. And we have a sweet stout. Okay, another thing with the stout is that, again, I love sweet. So when I started to brew, I saw the Young's Double Chocolate. I don't know if you have heard of this beer. Okay, it is a European beer that it says Double Chocolate Stout. When I saw the can, purple can, and I said, okay, that is my beer. It's double chocolate. It's like a cake. I want that beer. So I bought it, and I was really excited to taste it. But when I tasted it, it tastes really bitter, really acidic. So I said, okay, what is this? No, I want to make a stout sweet and to taste like I wanted to taste. So I started to study how to make a really nice sweet beer, right? With lactose, and that was not bitter, acidic. So we came with the Puerto Viejo, that is called. It is a beach in Costa Rica. And it's a sweet stout of 6% alcohol. Really, really nice with a body. You can taste it. You can give it with a spoon. Really nice. And we have the Tortuguero IPA. That beer, every time I brew, I twitch something. Because there are two beers that I always said is going to be really hard to make. IPAs and red ales. So when I went to a bar or a restaurant, the first beer that I ask is an Irish Red Ale, if they have one, right? If it is not, it's an IPA. We have the, I don't know, the thinking that making an IPA, it's only put it hops and a lot of hops and that's it. No, it is okay. For you to drink a good IPA, you have to study a lot and know your hops, the times, the pH and all of that, right? So with this beer, I'm always trying new IPAs and reading a lot of things, talking to brewers from around the world that are searching for new studies of IPA. So in this beer, I'm always twitching. Okay, the last year they found out, well, it exploded the terpenes and the all of the ingredients, hydrocarbons, I don't know how to say it, in the hops. So, okay, the survival compounds of the hops are really influenced of the final aromas of the hops. So I started, okay, this hop, if I put it in a hop stand, how is it going to be at the end? Because right now, if I smell it, they smell like roses, head and your thing, right? But at the end, it's going to give me lemon, pineapple, because of the biotransformation of the yeast. So with that IPA, I can do that because most of the customers are tourists, right? Not nationals. So I can change it from here and then. It's really nice. And finally, we have the Grifo Alto Lager. That is a Munich Helles. It is more like an American light lager, but really maltose, right? So it is a lager. I didn't want to make lagers until last year because in my mind, it was, okay, we need to sell, so make a lager. We need to sell, so make a lager. And no, I want to make good beer. I want to make this beer. But what happened is that a lot of customers in our restaurant, they ask, okay, you have Imperial, that is the national beer. And that gives me, it's not the national beer. I have the national beer. I brew it here. So, okay, eventually I give up and I make a lager. And that thing is selling like mad. So, yeah, everyone comes, oh, you have a lager with this heat. Okay, give me the lager. And it was so popular that we make a light lager from that lager. Okay. So in Costa Rica, we have this tendency of the keto diet, the keto diet. Yeah. We have the, in Costa Rica, we have too the tendency of the CrossFit. So a lot of guys, oh no, I cannot drink beer because the sugar and all of that. So we make a light lager with only 55 calories, gluten-free. So that beer too is selling like mad. So we have those five commercial beers, and each month, because of the capacity, I wanted to make more, but each month we make one seasonal different beer that is not going to be repeated, never.
Okay, and that tends to be a sweet one.
Yeah. Fruit beers. When you know, in TikTok, I didn't think of that, but I posted a video asking people, okay, we are going to make a sour pale ale, but I don't know if you want passion fruit or mango. That's it. It was like, okay, that thing exploded. It makes viral. Everyone's talking, oh, I don't know. You can make a mango beer. Let's make mango. I don't know. You can make a beer with fruit. And of course, there were comments like, what is that shit? You cannot make beer with fruits. You only have to make beer with da-da-da-da. Well, but eventually want the mango beer, and we make a sour pale with mango, and we make a contest. So people who comment after that video, we were giving up a free tour and a free taste for the beer. So last Saturday, we have the small group, like six persons. We give them a six-pack, the tour. And it was so nice. The event was only to be like 1 hour length, but we stayed in the restaurant for 5 hours talking and laughing. At the end, we taste all of our beers. They were so excited. They didn't know that fruit beers actually exist. So yeah, it's really nice. And most of it, I try to make it or sours, but not wild fermentation, only sours, or sweet.
Okay. It's an interesting dichotomy there of, you know, extremes.
yeah. Well, I have to say that I have made West Coast IPAs and, I don't know, a Rauch beer. I love when I make that. Tomorrow, I'm going to make the Rauch beer. So there are not only sweets, but 90% are sweets. And we have this barrel age program that this barrel age program, it's called Craft Hasta la Muerte or Craft Till Death. And we have like two rules, that it has to be always in a collaboration with someone, and it has to be with some ingredient. So I always try to be Imperial Stouts that I think that are amazing with the barrels, and we can put it a lot of ingredients. So until now, we have only brew in the Craft Till Death program stouts, Imperial Stouts. But I want to, we have an idea with a guy, with Gustavo from Bora, that we are going to make Sazón, an Imperial Sazón barrel aged.
Okay, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
I have to get over to try that one when it's ready.
Yeah, of course. I send it to you.
Oh, yeah. So I've held you for a long time, but coming back, your tell me about this online course you're doing then. How did that get started? And I took a look at the webpage, if no one's seen it. I mean, it seems to be hugely comprehensive. You've got a huge number of people taking part in that. So how did that get started, and what's the plan on it?
Okay, it started because, again, when I take a big course, I don't want to well, it is the course that certifies us as master brewers. And it was really expensive. Well, really expensive for us, but not as expensive as going to Berlin or United States, because, well, we're talking like 40K expensive, plus your apartment, your food, and all of that, right? But this course was really expensive. And when I took it, I felt a little bit disappointed because there were few things that I actually learned. So, well, I get the certification and all of that. It was nice. But then I said, okay, if I know all of these things that those people came to teach me as a master brewer, well, I think I can teach this not as a master brewer, but to enhance the beer process. So I started to make small courses in Costa Rica, like a presential thing before pandemic. And, well, it was nice. Every course was sold out. And I wanted to make it more interesting than only produce beers. As you know, I love to pair, I love to eat, I love to drink, but in a professional way. And in that course, I put some classes of pairing, sensorial analysis, tasting, and all of that. So when the pandemic came, well, we have Costa Rica Beer Factory closed. I already traveled to some countries as a judge. So I said, okay, I'm going to give this course an online twist. And that gives me the opportunity to hire teachers that I know they are masters in what they do. Because in Costa Rica, I hired two teachers, a science teacher that is really, really great, and a historic teacher that is Carolina from El Viaje, that she knows a lot of brew history, beer history. So we were only us three, not much. And when we said, okay, we are going to make it online, I started to hire teachers from Chile, from Argentina, from Panama, United States, El Salvador, well, a lot of countries. So I can give them the same education that I was given, no, a better education that I was given presentially, but as I don't have to hire a place, I don't have to buy supplies, so the price is going to be really accessible for the people. So we started with the online course, and, well, people love it. Okay, it's 6 months course. It only cost $470, and they give you a lot of theory. Well, that is the con, I think, but it's really hard to say, and I am against it, because there are some courses that it says, okay, I can teach you how to make beer in one day.
Right.
How are you going to make that? So I always said, okay, no, you are paying to see someone making beer, but you cannot learn make beer in one day. It is impossible. So that's why I tell them, no, if you want to make beer, you have to make beer all year long and a lot of days, a lot of times. And that doesn't guarantee you that you are going at the end of the year know how to make beer. Well, you can know the process, right? But can you make good beer? Can you make a standardized beer? So with that thing, we tell them, no, we give you the theory. And most important We can give you the experience because there are a lot of things that we cannot read, we cannot see in YouTube videos that are experience. Okay, why is my beer in the bottle of starting to make to get dirty? I don't know how to say to get dirty and not get clear. What's going on? And sometimes it's the design of the equipment, the tank. So those are things that you are not going to read. But as brewers, in our experience, we can tell you that each brewery, as Ricardo Semilla from Argentina said, each brewery, it is like a fingerprint. There is no other brewery like yours in the world. It is unique. And you can make it more unique because of your experience, your work method, your knowledge. So the experience of the small things that you do in your day-to-day work is going to help the brewers when they have a problem. So we give that value to the course because we are talking to you from experience. Obviously, because of the theory we know, but from experience, and that you, when you make beer after the course, even you can ask. So I still have active the chat from the first course that we make, and they are still asking, and we have no problems. Give them the answers. The some guys tell, okay, I have this beer. Can you taste it? Bring it. Hey, I have this doubt. Can I go to your brewery, or can you tell this teacher what is happening? Let's go. So it is more like a companion for the brewers, so they can make a good beer, and most of it to solve problems, day-to-day problems that they don't know how to solve it. I have this guy that he was interested in the course, and he said, "You can I only take the water classes because everything else I know it." And I said, "No, you don't know it." But no, you cannot take only the water classes, but we are going to make something. If you can take the course and you think that you already know it, I give it to you free. Don't worry. And yeah, in the first class, he was the guy that was asking the more questions in of the whole group. Oh, yeah, this one and this one. Yeah, it's because we have this thinking that making beer, because of these small courses, that making beer is easy. And it is not easy. You can learn it in one day. So everyone think they know how to make beer. They know how to give answers. And no, so the course specializes in that. I have in the in pandemic, I have a student from Germany, a master brewer. Okay, it's a master brewer degree from Germany, but he wanted to take the course because of the other classes like fruits and adjuncts that we give, because he said, okay, in Germany I cannot do that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to learn how to make beers with these different things. And it was really nice because in each class, he gave us his experience brewing as a German brewer according to the Reinheitsgebot. So he said, no, if you want to, I don't know, if you want to carbonize your beer without adding CO2 but without adding sugar, you can do this. And just before the beer stops fermenting, bottle it and let it finish there. And you have the maturation and carbonation in one step. So he gives us a lot of feedback, and that's what we like. We are not closed either for someone who knows, for someone who can give their experience. I have a lot of head brewers starting the course, and they learn a lot of things, but they can give the experience knowledge. Hey, no, my brewery is like this, so I change the tanks, and then it was better for me brewing, knowing if I have a pump, but brewing from gravity. And it gives me more results. And he explains why. And we said, okay, the equipment wasn't designed for that, but he find that way, and he's more efficient brewing like that. So it is really cool. The course, we give it 2 times a year, the Cervecero course. And 1 time per year, we gave the recipe designs course. That is like the level 2, because we saw a lot of technical features of the ingredients, the methods, and all of that.
And is that course, is it only in Spanish or?
Yeah, it's only in Spanish. Sadly, it is only in Spanish. Well, we are focused in Latin America. Yeah, it is our market. I wish someday we can make it in English, but right now, as we grow, we can see where it takes us.
Okay. No, it sounds like I said, I just saw the webpage that you had up there, and people should go to CostaRicaBeerFactory.com and check it out, especially if you speak Spanish. It's definitely, it sounds even better, because like you said, it's that two-way street, which is, you know, often missing on these.
Well, you can change the language in the corner of of the webpage and put it any language you want.
Yeah, that's right. So listen, I've held you now for, it's an hour, so I better let you go. I know you have a day's work ahead of you. So thank you for taking the time. I mean, it really is one Costa Rica. Like I said, I've only been there for 2 weeks, and I really keep wanting to go back. It is a fantastic place. Unfortunately, when I was there, the beer scene hadn't taken off by that stage, so I was just drinking the national lager, which I don't remember anything about, really. It was just another one. So it sounds like it's become a much more interesting place to be. Maybe I'll get back there soon. Maybe I'll get to call into you and taste a very sweet beer sometime.
Yeah, of course. You are all welcome here in Costa Rica. Well, we want you to visit us, to know the country, to know the beers. It is really, really cool. As I said, you have the three weathers, floors. I don't know how to say it. You have the beaches, you have the mountains, you have almost the tip that is really cold, rainy forest, a lot of animals, a lot of diversity, so, and a lot of beer.
Great. Well, like I said, I just wish that had been there when I was visiting, but next time. Listen, Jaime, thanks a million. I'm just going to play this out. Thanks a million for your time. And yeah, hopefully we'll all get to talk to you and keep us informed on what's happening there.
Yeah. Keep in touch. Don't miss out. I'm waiting for you here. Where are you right now?
At the moment, I'm in Belgium.
Okay. Well, next month to Spain. I thought I was going to Belgium too, but it is my next travel. So I let you know when I'm there, so we can taste some beer.
Perfect. We can visit a few other breweries as well together.
Yeah, of course.
Excellent. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye.
Bye.